Good morning. This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. We trust you're having a good day. And I trust the program encourages you, challenges you, and blesses you. And so again, if you would like to contact me, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. And you can use the email address or the postal address that's given there. This program can be listened to there. It can be downloaded to your own computer if you would like, and you can pass it on to others through email as an attachment. So you have some options if you would like to preserve the program. You can also reach me the old-fashioned way at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849. Now, we'd like to have your comments on the program. And if you have any prayer requests, we would take them seriously. So we would love to hear from you. Now, as we've gone into January and now into February, we've been looking at one word each time that sort of is important in the study of Scripture and in our understanding of the Gospel. For example, we looked at beginnings on January 7, which was appropriate, and we looked at warnings on January 14th. On January 21, we looked at the concept of worry, and on January 28th, we looked at hope, which is the biblical hope, where we're looking forward to something in the future, not the hope that many people seem to think is associated with salvation, where they say they hope to be saved. We have a sure hope if we are saved. We have a sure future to look forward to. And then last time we looked at the word faith, and I've got articles written on the word faith, which I'd like to pass on to you. You can find them on my website, because faith is a concept that we could spend a lot of time on. I constantly have people asking me, well, what is faith and how do you come to faith? And is faith believing? And if believing is faith, how do people come to believe? Well, the word believe probably is a shallow way of looking at the concept of trust. And so the question is, if we have faith in the Lord, do we really trust Him? And so trust is a key component of faith. And trust, of course, has to do with our trust in the Lord Jesus Himself and in the promises He has made. Now, there's a general faith where we consider our lives to be in the hands of a good God, and I understand that. But when it comes to specific promises, we need to have faith in those specific promises. And those who are of great faith are people who have been able to appropriate the promises of Scripture that many people feel are pie in the sky or beyond them. So great faith has to do with being able to have trust God with regard to more and more promises that are found in the Bible. But today I want to look at the word lost, and I want to think about Luke 19 and verse 10. We've looked at this before in other programs, and it's an important concept because it says the Son to seek and to save that which was lost. And this was spoken to a man by the name of Zacchaeus who had climbed up into a tree in order to see the Lord as he passed by. And it seems like seeing the Lord and meeting the Lord made a difference in his life, because the Lord told him to come down out of that tree. And he says, for today salvation has come to your house. And so salvation is found in a person. That's really another way of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Zacchaeus found out that salvation was in the Lord, and he met him that day. He made an effort to meet him that day. But if we were to go to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, we would read, but even if our gospel is veiled or hid, it says in the Old King James, it is veiled or hid to those who are perishing. The Old King James says those who are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost or perishing. And so nobody wants to be lost, not in life, nor for eternity. We all want to have that blessed hope when the Lord makes his glorious appearing. And so when we look at this concept of lost, it has a number of different applications or concepts. The definition usually has to do with being something that's lost is useless. Sometimes the word perishing is involved. It's destroyed. It's a person who doesn't know where they are going. And that's really something that I want to look at this morning, because they may not know where they're going and they may not realize it. Some know they're lost, but don't even think to read the road map. And that road map is the Bible. The Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, today we have GPS systems. We have maps that tell us how to navigate in places where we don't really know how to get from point A to point B. My problem with a GPS system is I don't always trust it. And there's been a few times, because my system was out of date, where I probably shouldn't have trusted it. But if you are willing to use a current map of a GPS system that's based on a current map, I found out that even when you think you're going in the wrong direction, it's best to follow the directions that the map or the GPS system is giving you. Now, when we deviate from the map that the GPS system is giving us, that our current GPS systems often have a way of reorganizing themselves and telling us how to get to our destination from the new road that we shouldn't have taken. But in the Bible, you've got to follow the road map. Fact matter is, we read and have often quoted the passages that say in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 13, enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And so the GPS system may guide us in life, but it's the Bible that guides us for eternity. And it's interesting that when we look at this idea of being lost, if we were to go to Luke chapter 15, we would find three lost things, and each one of them gives us a different aspect of what it means to be lost. The first one has to do with a lamb that is lost. And we're told that the shepherd goes, and if he has 100 sheep and one of them is lost, he leaves the 99 and looks for the one lost sheep and finds it and brings it back to the fold. And that shows us the love God has for the lost sheep. And it also helps us to understand, if we know anything about sheep, that once that sheep is lost, it's probably never going to find its way back without help from a shepherd. And that's why we preach the gospel, because people are lost and they don't realize they're lost in some cases. But even if they do realize they're lost, they don't know what path will lead them back to the truth of Scripture. And so we preach the gospel in order to try to help with regard to that situation. So some people are loved and lost, and the Lord really seeks them out. And that's why the gospel is for the whole world, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But then in that passage in Luke 15, we have a lost coin. And the coin, of course, is a precious thing, but it's useless as long as we can't find it. So we might have a very valuable coin, and it might be needed in order to pay the current month's rent, but until we find the coin, we can't use it to pay the rent. And some of us are like that. We think we're serving the Lord when in fact we aren't, because we are separated from him by sin, and God has swept the house and he hasn't found us yet. And it's the lost that need to be found, so that then the Lord can use us. We aren't saved by our works, but once we're saved, we can work for the Lord. And we can show that we love him by the things that we do. So there was a lost coin. a useless coin until it was found, a loved sheep, a lost coin, and then we have a lost son. We have a son who wandered off intentionally in Luke chapter 15. We call him the prodigal son, and he left home thinking that the way of the world, the broad and crowded road, was the way to blessing. And he found out that he had friends until he ran out of money. And once he ran out of money, he started feeding swine. And this was a Jewish boy who was willing to feed swine in order to get enough to eat. But the father didn't go out looking for him. He knew this man had to come to himself. He was out of his mind. And many lost people are like that. They make decisions that make no sense. And so this boy, when he finally came to himself, he said, "There's bread enough in my father's house and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will go to my father and say, I have sinned." And this is the kind of person that really is able to take in the gospel. "I have sinned." And the father received him, of course, joyfully, killed for him the fatted calf. And the boy was brought back into the father's house. He left the place of blessing and came back to the father's house. And some people would look at this as a Christian who has gotten away from the Lord and needs to be restored. And some would look at it as a person who has never been saved and has gone out into the world and tried the world and needed to be awakened to their need of salvation. But either way, the end result is to get back to the father's house. And so here's a son who is loved and who is lost because he has made bad decisions. So we have a loved lamb, we have a useless coin, and we have a son who has made bad decisions, but in each case they're lost. And I have found out in the past that we don't find people in a position where they can take in the truth of God's salvation, where they can get peace about that, until they admit that they are lost, that they are not on the right path, that they don't know what the truth is. In some cases, they know they're lost. In some cases, they don't know they're lost and need to be awakened. In some cases, they just know that they have spent their life on things they ought not to spend their life on. But in any case, they know they're lost and they need to be saved. And a lost person, if they're not saved spiritually, if they're not born again, if they're not saved, the end result is eternal conscious punishment after they die. But we want everyone listening to my voice to end up in a place called heaven. And so once you realize you're lost and you agree with God about that, it's pretty easy to agree with God that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus had the Lord dwelling in his house that day because he found out he was lost. And so, friend, today I hope that if you say you're saved, you can go back in your experience, not necessarily to a date, but to an experience that you remember when you realized that you were lost, away from God and useless, and when you trusted in the truth that Christ died for your sins, that he loved you personally, and when you got peace about the fact that you'd been forgiven because of what Christ had done at the cross. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for that blessing upon those who have listened and for any who might be listening that are lost and want to be saved. Bless them with thy salvation. Help them to trust in your promises as we give thanks for thy mercies. In our Savior's name, amen.